As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. We have a very, very special guest today. This man is a co-host of the only college football podcast. That's right, the only college football podcast, the Shutdown Fullcast. You also know him as I can't even do this anymore, Spencer. EDSBS on Twitter. From the Moon Crew, you can join the Moon Crew Discord. And also from what's going on this week, the Charity Bowl, which basically pits college football fans against one another in an effort to raise the most money for a good cause. Spencer Hall, one of the greatest living sports writers. And do you hate when people call you a sports writer? Because that's not even what you said.
I'm stunned that I just like it when anyone, you know, after a year in quarantine and, you know, like kind of figuring out what to do next. I like it when anyone remembers me. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, it's interesting. Chris Camerani from The Athletic wrote a great story about you a few months ago, and he quoted me in it. And I remember very vividly when I was covering Florida for the Tampa Tribune. So this would be the mid-aughts. And yeah, my days were basically, I lived in a crummy apartment off 39th Avenue in Gainesville. So I would go to Panera Bread to work so I could have a change of scenery. And I would open my laptop and I would go to everydayshouldbesaturday.com. And it was the first place I found where I realized there were a bunch of people who watched college football and loved college football the way I did, because my editors at the paper certainly did not. And, you know, I was writing these stories that suited them. They were kind of, but when you linked my Gators wear jean shorts story, when I tracked down the guy, the Georgia grad who originally coined the phrase in 1997, you linked that, I was like, oh my God, I've made it. I have finally made it.
Well, because that was super culturally important, man. Like that's, see, big here's news. The other thing too, is that I think this goes for anybody who I generally mess with, right? Like anybody that I roll with. And I think anybody who likes the stuff that I do, is that it ain't that serious. It's not like there's a whole mess of world out there that's way more serious than this. But at the same time, like I never thought, you know, when people say you should, you know, stick to sports, I have no idea what that means, because this is part of life. Like there are way more important things. But if you can't understand that a lot of the person that you are around sports is tied into the everything else, right? Like if you can't walk in and understand that the reason the SEC is so successful, there's actually a really bad reason the SEC is so successful. We prioritize football too much. We do. And we do it for a lot of reasons, not all of which are super great. And that's not, by the way, that's like,
so
you know,
you're saying it just means
more. It does mean more. And, and you know, like I say that as somebody who's an accomplice. It's always going to mean more to me. Well, and that ain't necessarily good.
Well, and the thing is, this sport is just utterly ridiculous. in every single way. Like, you know how I feel about the general rules. We'll get to the Charity Bowl, because there's something you do in the Charity Bowl that I love that subverts something I hate, and it makes me very happy every time I see it. But this sport is fundamentally ridiculous. There is a foolish point, yeah, where a bison drags people onto a football field, mm-hmm, and everybody goes, mm-hmm, crazy. Like, that is, yep, that is a thing that happens 7 times a year in this sport.
Mm-hmm. Also, just at root, the sport is insane. What are you going to do? Okay, so we have a ball. Okay, cool. Are we going to try to get the ball up and down the field? Mm-hmm. So we're just going to throw it back and forth and do it. No. Everyone has to stop, and we all have to freeze. And then one person gets to snap the ball. And what happens then? Do we all run around? No, we hit each other as hard exactly as we possibly can. You're like, that doesn't seem like the way to actually do a sport. And they're like, it's great.
How did this spring up out of lacrosse country? That is what I want to know, because obviously yeah, they were playing lacrosse at Princeton and Rutgers, and that is, you know, there was rugby, and you had your rectangular field sports. It just, yeah, it is strange how it became the way it did, with the pausing, mm-hmm, but my favorite part of the sport is, no matter what time it is, no matter what point in the sport we're at, any change triggers the majority of fans to go, well, that's not how you do it. And then within 5 years, that's how you do it. 1913, Notre Dame's throwing down the field against Army. What is this sorcery? You know, and, you know, 2007, Chip Kelly's running a hurry up all the time. What is this? Yeah. It's always a, what is this sorcery moment? And then this is just what everyone does.
Yeah. And I think if I was to tell somebody listening to this, okay, what would you tell me about watching football? Because I can't claim to be an expert, but I can say this. I've watched enough football that I'm no longer an amateur. I'm not. I've watched way too much film. So I am in some sort of phantom zone between being somebody who never played. You played, so you have the
I think you watched
and you were and you were hit.
Yes,
you,
I
you
was
were mauled,
hit, yes. Hit very
repeatedly,
hard.
But by people who were better athletes. I'm not saying that to slam your athletic ability.
No, it's very true.
Yeah, you played against like Ed Chester. You're going to get it handed to you, right?
I love Ed Chester so much. That,
yeah, yeah. But he beat you up, right?
He did, but he was so nice about it. That's the best part. He would head slap me and then be like, how you doing, Andy? You all right? But it just makes me mad, because that's a guy who should have had a long NFL career. He was the first person who ever cashed one of his insurance policies, because he had the McKenzie Milton knee injury against LSU.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A terrible knee injury, right? Until very recently, you wouldn't be able to come back from. That is for somebody like me, who wasn't that close to the game. I'm now in this weird spot where I know what's going to happen before the play, but I can't always tell you what's going to happen. Okay, so yeah. You remember 2019 cocktail party. There is,
yes,
a long pass play to not George Pickens, but another Georgia wide receiver that essentially broke the game open. It was fairly tight, and then there's this like long pass down the field.
Well, there was a third down conversion to the tight end I think it was Wolf, who had
out of an under center formation that they hadn't run whole game. So they're setting up in the stands, and I'm watching from the stands, and they set up in this, and I just yell out. I was like, it's a play action deep to the left side to, like, you know, this guy. And
oh, this, like, is, nobody, I'm thinking of a different play with the tight end. Okay, I know which one you're talking about now.
Yeah, yep. I'm like this is going to him, and everyone needs to see it, because this is totally unlike anything they've done the whole game. And I couldn't, like, I just finished that sentence, and then they call it, right? And I was like, this is my hell now, right? This is my hell, to be like just expert enough that I know what's happening, but like I'm in no position to do anything about it ever.
Exactly. Well, I had my first taste of play calling over the weekend, and unfortunately, I found out you don't have any choice, you know, really say in the matter once you've called the play. Like, then it's up to a bunch of 19-year-olds, and it gets really interesting.
How terrifying is that? Did you actually sort of take emotional custody of that moment when you were like, oh God, please don't mess that up?
I was so excited, because I had a strategy going into the first play I called. I was calling defense, and you know, these are the offensive linemen like me getting into the spring game. But yeah, there were some second teamers too, so some guys who could actually play. And but my thinking is they don't play 11 on 11 very often together, so their communication is not going to be stellar. So let's run the most exotic pressure I have, which is a zone blitz where the nickel comes from the field side. And it worked. I mean, it wasn't any of the linemen. The linemen did what they were supposed to do. One of the backs just messed up. Didn't look backside when he had it. And I was running a five-man blitz or a five-man pressure into a seven-man protection. So I should have been destroyed on that play. But I didn't know that until I watched it on Sunday morning. In the moment, I'm like, this is easy. I'm great at this. And then Sunday morning, I'm like, oh, I'm not good at this. I'm so lucky that back went the wrong way.
You were basically like, I'm all in, and you won the hand and then realized, oh God, I could have been taken for everything.
Oh yeah, 100%. But that's every play. I mean, the best series of plays, the best like two play series that was called was Andrea Adelson. She had a counter on third and two that hit for like 15 yards. She goes tempo, and it's supposed to be a bunch formation, quick pass. Gene Deckerhoff has not called a play. Like, he's just over there we were on the same sideline, but he doesn't know we're doing tempo. And he's got the defensive coaches screaming in his headset, hey, they're going tempo, call a play. So nobody knows what's going on defense. If we snap the ball, it's a touchdown, but we had somebody jump. So that's it. These millionaires, everything, whether they're how we view them as human beings and how we view their intelligence is essentially wrapped in what they can make some 19-year-olds do or don't do and how well they can deal with their impulse control.
I cannot imagine. By the way, Andrew Adelson, excellent work. That is superb video game football play calling by going tempo right after a big play, go tempo and then immediately go quick pass. Oh, that is an NCAA 2014 classic.
Oh, I was mad because if I got inside the 10, I was going, if I hit a pat, you know, a deep play inside and then got inside the 10, I was going tempo inside zone for those free yards. I love it. Like I had a like 10-minute conversation last summer with Lane Kiffin about the glory of free yards on the ground when you're going fast.
Oh yeah. 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 And it works. It works no matter. It works in all simulators and in real life every single time, along with Texas inside the 10 yard line, run a Texas route with the running back, sneak a little tight end behind that. What could go wrong in real life by running that? Yeah, I really love at this point, like the things that I love after doing whatever I do for this long around college football is this. I love that there is a community of people that I feel like I think they were revealed by the internet. I don't think that they were necessarily created, but that people feel
they were always there. They just didn't have a place to gather or a voice, but there were so many, there were fewer, but much more powerful gatekeepers pre-internet. Yeah. And so the gatekeepers decided, no, it's this guy who writes blazing hot takes 3 days a week for 800 words down the left side of your newspaper page. He's the one who's allowed to write opinions. And then these other guys, they're just going to cover the news of the day, but they're not going to really say much about it. And that's it. That's how you will interact with the sport. And then there's some people on ESPN.
Yeah.
It's so much better than that. The meritocracy of the internet has made college football coverage so much more fun. And I remember you and I having this conversation maybe 10 years ago about how come the NFL can't be fun? How come the coverage of the NFL can't be fun? All it took was them to steal some college offenses, and now the NFL is fun.
The NFL can be very fun. And I don't think that's really caught up to – I don't think the media is really caught up to that. You know, I don't think the community is really caught up to that for a lot of reasons. I don't think there are a lot of compelling financial reasons for people to be very interesting, especially if they have to talk to people. You know, if you have to talk to people in college football, you know, there's a lot of different ways to get around somebody not liking you or somebody not thinking right. you're serious. In the NFL, that's a firm decision. You know, like suddenly like that the company has decided that, you know, you're not somebody who gets anything and you're not somebody who gets talked to. And that's pretty final. College, it's a little more porous, so you can still be, I think, pretty interesting and have some enemies. You know, there's not a lot of guys like that in the NFL.
Especially covering it nationally, you can. Like, I remember a conversation I had with the sports information director at UConn. I was going to write a story about one of their new coordinators, and I had talked to the coach about it, and then the story gets scuttled because Randy Edsall didn't want anybody interviewing the coordinators and at that time. And he's like, yeah, you can call back in 2 months. I'm like, in 2 months, I'm going to be writing about Alabama. This is the time I'm going to write about UConn. So if you'd like me to write a story about your new coordinator, I will write it now. If not, that's fine. You're UConn. You don't get to dictate terms. Alabama gets to dictate terms, but you don't. So that's why, but you could, and I could, at this point with, you know, being a national writer, I could piss off even a nationally prominent program. There are still other programs that I can write about.
Yeah. Or there's ways to write about those programs where you're backdooring it, right? Where you're like, okay, I can write an outline of you in the snow without ever necessarily, you know, touching you. Right. And I can paint a picture without getting, you know, like eventually players and agents are going to talk. And that's where you can get a lot of the stories. You know, you might have to wait 2 or 3 years.
Because players now in college football are more free to express themselves. You know, if Iowa players are allowed to tweet, then people are now allowed to talk. So I think the tyranny of the SID is coming to an end very quickly. That we're probably going to get, we're going to start getting more out of the players at the college level, similar to what you get in the NFL. Because an NFL player, if he's got something to say, he's going to say it.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get that in college now too.
Yeah. And it'll be a shocking adjustment for some fans, I think, to have to deal with players actually being as vocal as they want to be at
having
the age
agency.
Of, yeah. I'd like for everybody to just be very forgiving because they are going to be in the public spotlight with every available social media bullhorn they care to pull off the shelf. And they're going to be 18 to 22. Put yourself in their shoes. Be 18 to 22. Go back to some of the things that you probably said or did when you're 18 to 22. And I just like everybody to go ahead and give, like, don't play bump and run. Okay. We're going to give everybody a little cushion here. And when they get a little bit, out of pocket, you're just going to go, this is a learning opportunity. We can step back. You know, this is not fully formed.
Can you imagine if we had been able to broadcast something to millions of people at 19 years old? I mean, I would have said so much. I would have been canceled 100 times before I turned 20.
Listen, man, the weekend when I discovered recreational drugs would have been an amazing weekend on social media. Would have been phenomenal. And I'm glad.
The worst surviving relic out of college, because I mean, think about when we were in college, if someone wanted to take an embarrassing picture of you, they had to take the picture. They then had to take it to Eckerd and get it developed. Mm-hmm. And if it was really embarrassing, they might not want the person at Eckerd to see it. So the most embarrassing picture that survived of me in college is me passed out in a Lazy Boy with a Michelob light bottle in my cleavage, essentially being nestled by my bosoms. And it was, I mean, it's an ugly picture, but that's it. There were many more opportunities, but nobody was willing to go to the effort.
So that's the worst photo of you?
I'm pretty sure.
In college? Okay. That's good. That's, I mean, definitely, it's definitely
that's
the worst photo.
That's the only one I've seen. Nobody showed me the other ones. So,
okay. That's good. That's good. You're fortunate. Let me just put it that way. Also, unfortunate that social media didn't
exist. My friends
were
very scared to have the person at Eckerd see whatever it is that they would see.
This is because your friends weren't degenerates, and that speaks well to them. Okay. My friends would have been like, I cannot wait for a stranger to see this.
We're going to get doubles.
I'm going to wait here and watch you. I'm going to make you see what happened, and I'm going to watch your reaction. That's probably what my friends would have done.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine, because I would say anything at 18 years old, and I was sure that I knew everything. I was sure that I was smarter than everyone else. So by God, people would want to listen to me.
Oh, this is,
I'm not sure what's changed actually.
I don't think you really change a lot. I just think you get a break, right? You get when somebody says, you know, I have no filter, but I developed one. Okay. That means the same idiot is still back there pulling the strings. It's just that, you've learned what particular inputs on the machine will put you in the ditch fast.
Yeah. So this idiot would like to stay employed for the moment. That's where I'm at. But you're right. You know, a 19-year-old in that situation thrust into fame for the first time is bad. Going to say something bad, dumb.
Which is where, by the way, like, I think we're going to end up, if we get everything that we want to get in terms of NLI and mm-hmm. making sure, which is, I want to ask you about that, right?
Oh, so my
like,
God.
There's a guest who's like, I want to ask you about this.
I was talking to Blake Lawrence from Open Doors, and they're probably going to be the clearinghouse for all those deals. They're the clearinghouse for all the deals in the pro sports. And, you know, he knows how this works. He understands where the money is. It's on YouTube. It's on Twitch. It's on, you know, like Discord, like you guys are doing. But think about YouTubers. Think about Myers Leonard, for example, who was streaming a game. I mean, there are going to be a bunch of those.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And there's going to be a lot of people watching and waiting. Because remember on Twitch, here's the mother about Twitch, okay? Here's the thing. You can clip anything anytime you want. Anytime you want. You can go back. And I don't mean if you're the user who's streaming. I mean someone watching.
Anybody. Yeah.
Anybody. If something even slightly askance happens, you can go back and clip it. A third party can just come in, watch a stream, clip it. You've said something dumb and it's not even in your control. It's not in your hands, right?
We can all be Bubba Prog.
We can all sample whatever we want from Twitch at any time. So be careful in those streets. I think this is like, there's going to be a couple things. One, you're going to get really polished 20-year-olds.
No doubt.
Really polished 20 and 21-year-olds who learn real quick what to say and what not to say. Okay? Because we say, oh, they're 18. They don't know what they're saying. No, no, no. Their brains are young and agile. They'll figure it out real fast.
Well, and the other thing is they've been on camera their whole lives.
Yeah.
I think we're looking at it through our lens of we didn't get on camera until we were into our professional lives. They have been on camera since they were 9.
Yeah. And by the way, maybe not even just in an athletic context. A lot of these guys probably already do this stuff. They probably already stream.
They're streaming when they're playing Call of Duty or Warzone And that's what, because my son is 11 and he and his sister who's 9 are constantly asking, when can we become YouTubers? I'm like, not yet. Because the internet is forever. Not till you learn the internet is forever.
not until you learn, because the other thing too is that we now actually have like an established internet patois. So there's, I think, you know, because people will imitate it until they actually exist within that space. Yeah. And you hear a lot of kids, you know, I'm sure if a parent is listening to this, you might shiver when I say this. Any of your kids just said like and subscribe randomly? That's
exactly
that.
Right. My kids say it all the time. Well, that's what I didn't understand any of how the NLI stuff or NIL stuff would work until my kids really got into YouTube, until they started watching people who randomly scream about Minecraft for 3 hours at a time. And I was like, "What? Why do you watch this? This sucks." And they're like, "No, it's awesome." And then you see, oh, these people are making real money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And doing it, by the way, like in a way where a lot of the time, you know, they're putting in serious hours. This is why I'm waiting for the first player to have a conversation with his coach about choosing football or streaming. That's gonna happen. We're gonna have.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
if that already hasn't happened, we can't move
practice. I got a live stream.
Listen, I got this whole thing that I gotta do with like two other gamers and like. You know, the first guy was like, Ninja asked me to play Fortnite, coach. I got to go. And some coach is going to have this very long conversation with, okay, so it's a stream. Who's canoeing? No, it's a stream. You go on, you play. Oh, you people watch you play video. Yeah, Coach Saban. People. Will
so
watch
my daughter,
my
daughter can hear me through the door. She just texted me. They be rich with the with the dollar sign eyes and tongue emoji.
So. Yeah, no, that's gonna happen. You know, like I will say that even if they're not dedicated at this, part of this economy comes from novelty. And from random elements that you didn't expect to meeting. So here's the best example I have of this is Drake and Juju Smith-Schuster showing up to Ninja's live stream of Fortnite like a couple of years ago. And I was like, so what if, like, if I was going to rewind it to this year, what if I just said, hey, it's wild, like Devontae Smith showed up, right? People would flock to it just because they go, I don't know, maybe let's see if he's got some game.
Well, so, okay, let's take this 19 steps ahead, though, because we got to think like the college football cops, which is the other half of the people on the college football internet, where they're just looking for an NCAA violation around every corner. This is not an NCAA violation. Who's the first person that Google's going to sue for fraud because they built a bot to watch their favorite player's YouTube stream as many times as possible to get their ad revenue up?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think if I was thinking digital shenanigans that were kind of clumsy, because that'd be something that you could detect pretty easily.
I would imagine Google has the infrastructure to detect that within about 2 minutes right now.
Right. So I was thinking somebody who's gonna like cheat but not do it real. This just feels like a University of Miami ploy. It does.
I don't know.
It feels like
Chip Kelly wrote a check to a handler. And said, oh, he's recruiting. That scandal always makes me laugh because everybody's like, oh, you know, Chip Kelly was, you know, he shouldn't have been doing that. And like, no. You could tell he doesn't do that very much because he did it badly. Like,
yeah,
he thought he was being slick. He thought he found a loophole. If you're really doing that, you don't care about loopholes.
No, if you're really doing that, you're paying with cash. That's you're finding a way. A way to pay with cash, right?
Yeah.
And that's, so I was like, that might happen. That kind of feels like something that could happen with like an SMU level school. And I say that in our parlance, not necessarily SMU specific, but like a mid-major or somebody who is going to blow a bunch of money and not really care.
I'm so excited for what SMU could be in this new era. I really am.
Oh, they could be magnificent. Like this is... Everything that we could get with a school with a couple of dedicated billionaire boosters, I just want one person from Stanford to care, like really care. I want one person with a recent Silicon Valley IPO to just decide, I've had it with people not disrupting this industry. That's what I want to hear. We want to disrupt college football recruiting. Oh, at that point, I'm selling everything I own and covering that story.
Oh,
it'll end brilliantly.
We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Let me turn us to the Charity Bowl right now, because
sure,
this is what I love about the way you. So for those who don't know, and you need to know this, the Charity Bowl is an annual fundraiser where basically Spencer and his pals, Holly Anderson and Jason Kirk and Ryan Nanny, they pit schools against one another, Pitt fan bases against one another. They tap into the morality play that is college football, even though most of us know it's not really a morality play, but there's a very dedicated portion of the fan base that thinks it is. So this is you subverting that. And obviously most of the people donating money know it's not, but this is your chance to be a Michigan man and be a better human than an Ohio State fan.
Yeah. By taunting them with your generosity, and more specifically doing it in the format of a donation that is usually a score of your team humiliating them. That is like that.
Okay,
is,
the Michigan fans have to go back fairly far.
Michigan fans get very creative with their donations, which I appreciate. Some of them, we have gotten donations in the past that are number of days since we've beaten Ohio State as a sort of statement of purpose. That
I like it.
I don't want to forget this. Right. We're putting this up. I'm putting that number on the board just so the team knows what's up. Which I love. I love that they take something bad and they're like, we're not hiding from it. In fact, I'm going to put it right here in cold hard cash.
So this year you're helping New American Pathways, which is an Atlanta-based mm-hmm. nonprofit. They help refugees get established and you know help teach them how to live in this country and you know the pathway towards citizenship and all that. And the CEO of this organization you used to work with back yep. when you had a day job, right?
Yep, back when I had a non-sports day job, I used to work in the education program, which is, you know, a lot of like helping to tutor high schoolers who come over, because imagine being in ninth grade and suddenly you are not in a new school, but also a new country. That's kind of the gig that they have to, yeah.
And obviously, we've all gone to school with kids like that who get dropped in, don't know yeah. the language. I mean, it's got to be terrifying. I talked to a German guy who has come over to play football the other day, and his English is really good. But he said when he got here in September, it wasn't. And I'm thinking, how scary is that? Like, as a 16-year-old kid, like, you don't know what anybody's saying.
Or in this case, some of these kids might have been in some extremely non-traditional educational environments. Due to strife, conflict, right. war, moving around,
right?
They might have been
running from a from another coup or whatever. Yeah,
it's like ridiculous. People, yeah, or two or three different school, not just two or three different school systems. You think it's difficult doing that within the country? Well, what if I was like two or three different entire educational systems? You might have that as well on top of everything else that they had to deal with environmentally. That's just one of the things that we're raising money for. It are programs like that that New American Pathways does and that I worked with at other organizations. And this was not something that really, like, when you go, hey, did you guys start this on purpose? And I'm like, well, obviously, yeah, at one point we decided we were doing it, but this was just a fun trick to see if you could, you know, pull off to go, well, will people really donate like this? Because I just think it's a fun way to turn the kind of, you know, spite and you know, petty grudges that the sport just thrives on and turn it into something charitable.
The tickling of Texas A&M fans this week has been tremendous. Show those Texas people you're richer than they are. It's the ultimate button to push. It's perfect.
We will. Like, that's you got to hit that time and time again. Is, you know, you can play on, you play on different teams' insecurities. You play on it, the thing that we've discovered, I think, in the last 3 or 4 years of doing this. And that's the fun thing now, is that you go, well, man, we've been doing this for 3 or 4 years. We can really bust out the tools, because we have a lot of data on how people actually behave and what motivates them or what doesn't. And we don't know all that. Sometimes people will just donate for the weirdest reasons. You have absolutely no idea why. My favorite thing is finding little micro rivalries. It's like a NASCAR race when you go, okay, well, first place is pretty well decided. You know, like, Jimmy Johnson's leading by 500 miles. Like, nobody will catch him today. But that battle for fourth, man, that battle for fourth is pretty savage. Or even, you know, like Washington and Lee, like, or we have William and Mary chime in and they're like, yeah, let's see what you want, Washington and Lee. You know, weird rivalries like that spring up. UVA and Virginia Tech go at it, and they go at it pointedly. Their donations come in marked, like, you know, ha ha, wahoo wah, take that, Hokies. And they'll go back and forth for a day or two until, you know, they've both managed to donate, you know, a pretty astonishing sum of money for a good cause. So I'm happy to encourage all of these little bar fights on the internet.
Well, let me explain the stakes to people, because so I listened to your most recent episode of Shutdown Fullcast, and you recorded that Monday night. And as of Monday night, you would raise $209,000.
Yep.
You're going through this week. Do we have a current total right now, or have you not had, had a chance?
Yeah, to no. Current total is just over $275,000 on Tuesday.
All right. So I know it's this is bold and daring, but if you can get to a million, folks, Spencer will shave his beard.
I'll shave the whole
thing. If you know who Spencer is, if you have seen Spencer on the SEC Network, he's on Thinking Out Loud on the SEC Network, by the way. I should have mentioned that at the top. But this beard is magnificent. It has been, okay, how many years in the works is this beard?
This beard is about 5 years. Five full years. I went and climbed maybe six at this point, because I went and climbed a mountain in Mexico and failed to top out, by the way. Cardio wasn't up to it, and the altitude was kicking my ass. So we came down, and I just didn't shave. And I didn't really see a reason to shave, and it just kind of suited me. No, I don't want to see all this head. I have an enormous head. The more of this head I can cover with hair, the better, in my opinion. And
hashtag make him smooth. By the way, I was shocked that the domain makehimsmooth.com was not taken.
It's not like some sort of depilatory. It's not some kind of like manscaping product. No,
I was assuming just straight fetish, Spencer. I wasn't going to go commerce, but yeah.
No. Sure. Okay. Yeah. That's, you know what? Commerce and fetish, no longer separate things. Thanks to the internet. Right.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. But that is, if we get to a million, which I would be legit. This is speaking seriously. I would be stunned if we got to a million. But if we do, I'm just gonna say it, I will totally shave this beard, and then everyone will become instantly sorry that they raised $1 million once they see the photos.
All right, so just so we can get more people donating and get you closer to that, edsbscharitybowl.com and click donate. There's also a number you can text, correct?
That is correct. You can text EDSBS, that's EDSBS, to let me get the exact number.
Oh, I've got right one. I'm on the site now. Text Charity Bowl 21 to 91999.
Yep. Charity Bowl 21 to 91999, and it will take you to the site. You can complete. You will dedicate your donation to one of the schools from the drop down menu. That's very important. You got to dedicate it. You got to say, hey, it's going to this school. Otherwise, we have a policy that is not entirely it's not entirely ironclad, but I will say this, that we have joked for years that you should just, if you don't know where to go to school, you should just go to Arizona State. It's a good school.
I can't argue with that.
It's a state school. The weather's
near
warm.
The airport.
It's near the airport. If you like the outdoors, Arizona's a great place to be.
Football
if you don't
stadium
like
built
the
on the side of a mountain.
Oh, football. So it, can I tell you this? Your collegiate experience would start with, yeah, my football team plays on Frank Cush Field. that's where it starts. You won't have a bad time. And your mascot is like the devil, which I've gone over this on many different.
The actual devil. Yes.
Many different formats and platforms before. All right. But the cartoon devil and any music about the cartoon or cartoonish devil is the greatest music on the planet, right? Like, yeah, sure, you got Handel's Messiah, but like Mark of the Beast by Iron Maiden, if you're singing a song about Satan, then like you, me, and everyone else who loves Tenacious D is in heaven singing about hell, because it's the coolest, right?
Does that mean we have to sing tribute as well?
Yeah, we could sing tribute, the song that's about the greatest song in the world. Yeah, like that's, if you grew up on any kind of metal, you understand where I'm coming from here. But that is all my way of saying that if you do not designate where your donation goes, it's probably going to Arizona State by default.
I can't argue with that. I feel like if my kids can't decide on a college, I'm just going to ship them to Tempe.
I really think this is the move. Like, if you're not sure, just go to Arizona State. You know, you're like, oh, I don't know where I'm going. I'm trying to decide between Harvard or Caltech. I don't know. Nope. If you can't make a decision,
you're a Sun Devil. Damn it.
You're a Sun Devil. Okay. I'm just going to have you talk to Phil Mickelson for 5 minutes. He'll tell you how great it was. And then,
Herm now. You just have Herm.
Yeah.
I bet Herm would just call. Like, even if you're not a football player, like, so I hear you're thinking of coming to Arizona State. And he'll just close you.
You could tell Herm, by the way, like what they wanted to major in and what school. You'd be like, yeah, I don't know. I was really thinking about going to Princeton and really majoring in political science. And Herm would, with all sincerity, say, I don't know what either of those things are. What I do know is this. Like, he would just be like, you don't want to do that.
But be like, I don't would know. He do the same if you said you were going to major in turf grass science at Mississippi State? That's the question.
No. He'd be like, well, that's a good program. You should probably go there.
Fine program.
Those people make really pretty grass. I got to say, it's the desert. It's a little hard to do that out here. We do our best. But
Tiffway.
I'm very proud, by the way. I got a family member. Who knows? He might be listening to this. I got a family member who was majoring in business at Mississippi State. He went back to his folks and he said, you know what? I'm feeling really passionate about something and I want to change my major. And he's like, well, what? And he goes, I want to major in turf science. And I'm happy because me and my mom were the only people in the family who were like, awesome. Yes.
Listen, as someone who just cleared his own lawn and then laid new sod, God bless that man. Because, you know, maybe he designed the strain of Zoysia that I just put down that is currently thriving in my yard.
Yeah.
So I God bless you, Mississippi State turf grass program.
Yeah, I'm so happy. I was like, in case I wasn't SEC enough already, in case I didn't have my bona fides, I now have a relative who's majoring in turf science at Mississippi State.
Speaking of yard work, I want to get into my favorite thing of yours that you've done in the last couple of years, because the thing about, like, you find, I don't know if people send this to you or you just are so online that you just, this stuff comes to you like you're a magnet, but you find all these things on the internet that you'd never find otherwise. Unlike Rex Chapman, you actually give the people credit for it when they do it. But
always,
this is a video that was on TikTok and then you obsessed over it and track down the people from the video. So I'm just going to play it for everybody. Just experience the majesty. Oh, great. Now it won't. Oh, here we go. Now we've got the sound. Here we go.
Yeah.
So the sound you hear is the dangerously unqualified lawn guy cutting down a pine tree. Mm-hmm. And the pine tree then hitting the roof of the house. And I, like you, watched this thing 500 times immediately after seeing it.
And what happened, you always know it's a good story if you say, well, what happened was, and what happened was, the guy, I was laughing about it and could not stop posting about it. And I get this DM from a guy who's like, oh yeah, that's my house. And you know, it's amazing. normally when you get that, you go, it's just someone yanking my chain. There's no way this could actually be this guy. So I ask his name, and you know, you do I do the fake journalist thing of, you know, making sure who he is, right? Because what I really want to do is just go, okay, tell me everything. But you know, I have to actually pretend to care whether this is real, right? So I verified that it's real because, you know, it's too good a story not to be. And it turns out to be so much better than I really wanted it to be. Whenever somebody says you should never, ever skimp on paying something for your house, on paying a professional, what dads always say, don't skimp on paying a professional. Two things. One, not all dads do this. Some dads are happy to not pay a professional because it's a lot of money. And two, they're right. You should not skimp, because that's exactly what happened to the owner of this house. They paid a guy who was like, yeah, I could take that tree down. Yeah, you got any experience doing it? Oh yeah, I got some experience doing it. Had no experience. It's the first time he'd ever tried.
We had a 30 foot tall laurel oak removed from our house. We did not skimp, and it's not cheap to have it done, but it is kind of poetic to watch the guy who does the heavy lifting at this company. He's like this 6'8" dude who just puts the little harness on and like shimmies up the tree and just starts hacking things off. But they've got pulleys and levers and all these different things to make sure nothing actually hits anything. This guy's just like, I got a big ass saw and there's a tree and we're going to take that sucker down for $1,200.
This is in Texas. So just if you were wondering, like, wow, where would this tech? Okay, that makes sense. Yep. This is in Texas. They did have significant structural damage to the house. That's like, if you go, wow, how messed up was the house? The answer is very. And did the guy who was taking the tree down demand payment for this? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Because he got half up front.
After it hit the house?
Uh-huh. Because what was the deal? He was supposed to take the tree down.
And he argued, down.
He argued that he, in fact, had taken the tree down, which I got to say, flawless logic to me. He did. If that was the deal you cut with him, then the problem is not in the execution, but in the contract and the person who wrote it, sir. Again, that's how you know I went to Florida. I'm like, well, what did the contract say? Oh, no, the tree just had to come down? Go Gators.
Is the tree down? The tree is down. All right.
Tree's down. You got to pay up, sucker.
Wow. It's just amazing. And just the level of surprise in his voice that turns into not really surprise within half a second. Like, oh, I didn't do this right. Of course I didn't do this right. Boo.
Yeah, there were previous failures in this man's life that he
scene
he
ran
remembered
through my
all
mind,
of them the minute this happened, right?
Oh yeah, I've done it again.
Flooding back to him. Yeah. Oh God, Randy, you messed it up again.
I actually this was going through my mind quite a bit a few weeks ago because we had this thing in our backyard which the tree service people are like, that's actually a weed, even though it looks like a tree. And it's basically these three stalks that had grown about 20 feet high of weed. And they're basically trunks. And I'm like, you know what? I don't need to call the tree service to get rid of this. I got an axe. So I get the first two stalks down. Then comes the biggest one, which is really probably 15 to 20 feet tall. And I'm starting to chop it down, and it's starting to not fall the right way. Because it's right next to the fence, and I'm like, okay, if this falls exactly wrong, it's going to break this piece of fence, and then it's going to at least tear some shingles off my neighbor's house. And that's not – and my neighbor's great. Like, you've seen Home Improvement, that guy Wilson. Imagine if Wilson hung a Coors Light over the fence every time he saw you. That's my neighbor. Okay. He's the best.
That guy.
And so he would have been fine with it as long as I paid for the damage, but I didn't want to deal with all that. And so – I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? Am I going to just like bear hug this tree and try to get it down? I'm like, no, it's a freaking tree. I can't do this. And so finally my inner Randy from the video in Texas came out and I'm like, you know what? This thing's going to fall and whatever happens is going to happen. And fortunately it fell in a way that it very softly wedged against the fence, dropped some leaves on his roof. But I was able to drag it off without causing serious damage. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to count this as a win. And I'm never going to do this again. I will pay for it every single time now.
Yeah, no, you dodged it. You really did. You really leaked. This is, I've had this conversation that with other people that we're really not very skilled and you don't know it until you have to actually perform a basic task.
That's right, me calling plays. I wasn't very skilled at that either.
No, like I don't think people have enough respect for skill. That's why I always wanted in the Olympics, I always wanted somebody to try the event before the professionals came out just to give everybody an idea of how hard it is. Like I wanted a combination of pros versus Joes and Jackass. Every time there was a new Olympic event, we just pulled someone from the stands and said, hey, here's the pommel horse, or here's the vault.
Oh my God.
Or here's, that would be amazing. Or here's cross country skiing. We're going to put one normal person on the course with everyone else just to show you how difficult this is. And once that person is done breaking their femur or puking or doing whatever they're going to do, trying the event, everyone can emerge with a newfound respect for whatever this event is, right? I think it would do a lot to really tone down a lot of the sorry, but I'm built different internet warriors.
Yes,
right? Because if I've changed at all in writing about sports, is that I am so much more forgiving of players. Like I have just 100%. Like and coaches, like anybody who's out there, like I'm now pretty much like if I'm laughing. Like, okay, when Marco Wilson threw the shoe, I thought that was, like, the minute it happened, I was like, I love you so much. I do. Because, like, that is the most human thing you could do at that moment. That is the most relatable thing.
The shoe's right? in okay. your hand.
Shoes.
What are you supposed to do with it?
Then he had it in his hand, and then without thinking was like, yeah, man. Man, to hell with you. I'm throwing this shoe down the
field. The natural inclination is not to drop the shoe and say, here, sir, you've lost your footwear. The natural inclination in that moment is to chuck the shoe.
We just won the game. And I've been playing real hard. So you know what I'm going to do? Yoink! I'm putting it down the field. Because what could happen? Oh! And the minute he screwed up, I was like, I'm just going to have to love this man now. Because you just did something.
I wonder when it dawned on him. That's the other question is was it as the shoe is flying through the air, or was it when the ref turns on his mic and says throwing a shoe about 15 yards down? He included a distance. I can't remember what he estimated, but do you think at that point he's like, oh wait, what? Wait,
they
threw a flag for that?
I think there was a little bit of that. I think it was probably when he got that head slap. I don't know. I can't remember who that was, but somebody like
one of his teammates came over. Yeah, I couldn't figure out if that was a man, great player. What did you do?
I think it was a what did you do? And I think that's the head slap of somebody who knew it might have been coming. You know, who did the head slap? Marco. Ah, yeah, Marco Wood. And now we're all just going to have to love him for it, because I think there's probably a very dour and serious bunch of people who would like to opine about what a damnable act of unsportsmanlike conduct.
I did appreciate the lack of think pieces on the shoe throw.
Well, just because it just broke your brain.
Because like sometimes a shoe just wants to be thrown, and I get why there's a penalty. I mean, at the very least, it's delay of game. So yeah. I understand. I'm not mad at the officials for calling it. That's their job. But that shoe wanted to be thrown, let's be honest.
Yeah, like, and I'm a Florida fan. I saw it happen, and like, I advanced through every stage of grief straight to, oh, hey, man, welcome to Legends. we're putting you straight into the mythology here. Like,
my son was at the game. Moment. He's like, first thing he gets home, first thing I hear, so they call throwing a shoe, but Ricks doesn't get called for taunting before he crosses the goal line on the pick six? Come on. I'm like, dude, you are too young to be complaining about the refs.
You know,
way too young to be blaming the refs for every loss.
I think context helped too, because that happened. And then Kate York hits a 57 yarder in the fog. And you go, yeah, we couldn't miss this. This is coming. Whatever this
the
was,
amount of times we I've driven across Payne's Prairie, which for those who don't know is just south of Gainesville on I-75. If you try to drive on Payne's Prairie at any point between 4 a.m. and 7 a.m., which is if I'm trying to drive to Orlando to get to the airport, that's when I'm driving. It is pea soup thick fog. It is exactly that fog that you saw in that game that night. The idea of anyone hitting a field goal in that fog of any distance is shocking to me. The idea of anyone hitting a field goal that long seems utterly impossible. And that's why I didn't like the Florida fans are freaking out about the call and the shoe throw and all that. And I'm like, guys, it was destiny. If he's hitting that field goal in that fog, that was destiny. They were supposed to win. You're going to have to let it go.
He hit a 57 yarder, y'all.
He couldn't see the goalposts.
He was just guessing. He's like, I think this tiny wicket is about 171 feet that way. you were due, right? Like, that's like when somebody tells you, like, I'm sorry, sir, you have cancer. You're like, oh God, well, what kind of cancer? And they're like, everything. You've got cancer of the toes. You're just, yeah. Additionally, there's a huge boulder that's going to chase you for the rest of your life until it crushes you. You're done. That was what Florida was that night. You're like, what happened?
Right. And for
LSU, that's the
sometimes,
like, hey,
it's just
guess
your
what?
Night.
Yeah. You know, you slipped on a banana peel and you fell on a winning lottery ticket. And other people can call that, you know, comedy. We call that a W. That's fine. Like, that's because, you know what? We'll probably get, knowing the way that the LSU Florida series is gone, that's us next year or down the road. We're going to do something equally humiliating to you.
We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
Remember this, a Jim McElwain team won the SEC East, clinched it because Leonard Fournette, who at the time, mm-hmm. you know, Jags tenure aside, that hadn't happened yet. As far as we knew at that point, Leonard Fournette was an unstoppable force with the football in his hands. Could not score at the goal line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that shouldn't happen, but it happened.
No. And the thing is that I, you know, like, I now look at when that happens with players and you just go, oh buddy, like your story just became a richer tapestry of human experience than we could possibly even imagine going into this game. That's you now. And I kind of love you more for it. Like, I have to, there's very few things that a player can do on the field under the duress of playing a very stressful physical sport that you play in your underwear. You play
can
in
you
your
imagine
underwear wearing
to,
a helmet.
To get back to our NFL college discussion, can you imagine a high stakes NFL game? Because the stakes of the Florida LSU game at the time probably equate to a second weekend playoff game in the NFL. Can you imagine one of those turning on a thrown shoe penalty and then a 57-yard field goal in a fog where you could see neither upright? Imagine the people who call it the national football. Imagine their heads exploding.
We would be having 30 for 30s about it. Like we'd have an NFL network doc on that game 10 days after. I guarantee you.
And you know what that is, Spencer? You know what that is in college football? It's just another Saturday.
How do we do this, by the way, in college football? That we all know who's going to win, and we still manage to have like games where we're like, I don't know, it's crazy. Something unpredictable happened.
It's going to be Alabama at the end, but how we get there, who knows?
It's a lot like college football and wrestling have that in common where you're like, who's winning? Well, Roman Reigns is the guy right now. So yeah, probably going to put him over.
Roman's going over. He's getting the strap.
Yeah. The Undertaker's, you know, still alive. So we're going to roll him out and have him win a match at WrestleMania. And that's what Alabama's probably going to be until Nick Saban's, you know, retired or dead. That's really what we're going to have. But in the meantime, oh man, the writers, they've got some amazing stuff thought up for this. Just amazing. You're going to love it.
It's unbelievable.
It's bizarre to me that we managed to engineer that kind of unpredictability out of a sport where so much is predictable and
inevitable. Again, Spencer, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
That's how we engineer it. That's how it's baked into the crust.
Yeah, and that's like, if somebody goes, "Well, what's your differentiator between this and the pros?" You know, I go, that's it, really. Like, we have this thing where we have players who are very unpredictable and who are, frankly, don't even understand what they're capable of. Adore that.
What an idiot you were at 19 and how quasi-responsible you were at 30. And that's the difference between college football and the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. Also, you don't really know what you can't do sometimes. Like, I love watching guys who were the fastest guy in their high school get out on the field and suddenly realized they weren't. They're not anymore. Quarterbacks who drift toward the sidelines forever, thinking, I'll just run out of this. You know, one of my guys will get open. Yeah, nobody's, you're about to make a terrible mistake. Or athletes who have wildly uneven physical skill sets, even if they are brilliant. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater was one of my favorites because Teddy Bridgewater could not slide. He could do everything else you wanted him to do on a football field. But if Teddy Bridgewater, Louisville great and just a wonderful guy to watch at both at the NFL and the college level, Teddy Bridgewater, whenever he slid, he concussed himself. He could not do it. It was just, he could do everything else. Just a brilliant dude who could probably like put you in awe playing a game of cornhole in, you know, your backyard, right? When you go, man, that guy's got touch. And he would try to slide, and it was the worst thing I've ever seen.
But we love it. We celebrate both. We celebrate the throws he can make and the fact that he cannot slide, because that's what we want. We want both of those. We want the duality. We don't want the perfection of the NFL. They're just too good at everything.
I think this has been, it's cool to me because now like I can go watch an NFL game and just go, oh God, these guys are good.
because now they're running essentially the same offenses, and you're just like, oh, that's what it's like when everybody goes the correct direction that they're supposed to go, that the coach has told them to go. Interesting.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's what it looks like. Or Andy Reid has taken a basic college play and he's put 15 evil bells and whistles on it. And you think, oh man, that'd be really cool if we could do that. We could never do that. We can't.
You can't do that. Your guys have to go to class or don't, but they've got to play Call of Duty and stream it. No.
which again, I support. I have always supported this. This might be a new era of player rights and voice. I have always supported a player's right.
I have too.
As a college student.
I am, it's weird for me because I went from being the person everybody said was insane when I would write about this stuff, you know, 10 years ago, to now everybody wants to do that. And we're like, you're just like everybody else. I'm like, I know, but I was already like this. Do I get any credit for that?
I give you credit for that. You were like Captain Olympic model. Go out and get your money.
Everybody right?
Go gets out
and get paid. Your money
with endorsements.
Tonight at the Pit, everybody gets paid. That's all I want. Look, coaches get money, players get money. Go get money. That makes me very happy. And
also, I want you to think about it when you had like $500 in college.
I was a billionaire because the first thing I was buying was a keg, and calling everybody I knew. Because a keg of Southpaw Light at the Cash and Carry on 34th Street in Gainesville was $36. If you wanted to be a big spender, you could go up to like 42 and get Coors Light.
Yeah. How much was Ice House?
Ice House was in the 40s because it was a little higher alcohol content.
It was a weapon of mass destruction, basically. Like Ice House was not. If you got a keg of Ice House, you were basically talking yourself into renting the steam cleaner at Cash and Carry as well.
If you were at my apartment, you were drinking Southpaw. That was as far as I would go. You know, if I had just gotten my check from the Tallahassee Democrat when I was stringing for them in college, like it was going straight to Cash and Carry.
Yeah. And then what were you doing with the rest? Were you just like, yeah, that's my retirement money. I'm just going to, you know, this is island money.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Or, you know, it's on the border had the happy hour with the buffet, which was like three taquitos and four moldy chips, which, you know, then you're just buying dollar drafts and then suddenly the money's gone, but that's okay. You write some more stories, they give you some more. That was my end of college existence. So, but yeah, now it's going to be, you go stream a little bit, you know, make some content and it'll appear in your account.
Imagine the luxury.
A Twitter handle, but why not cash tags on the jerseys?
Well, I thought about this and there's a clever dodge, which is that if you have a Twitter handle, there's an instant way for me to get from one click on your Twitter handle to whatever link tree you want to put up or whatever exactly. You want to put in the bio, to say, right?
Linktree is about to do a booming business in college football.
Because all of a sudden, okay, hey, man, I really like that guy. Here's the thing. What's the first high school to do this? Because that's when we're going to see real money float around. Because once you're in the boat like, and I've got you on scholarship.
Like, IMG. No, it won't be IMG. It'll be St. Thomas Aquinas on the East Coast and Modern Day on the West Coast. You know it. You know it will.
Mm-hmm. Once I get that on there for high schoolers, hey, man, there's no telling what might show up in the Venmo. Your notifications could be looking real fat.
Don't do Venmo, though, because it's a little too public.
You gotta set it on private. Cash App. That's a good thing now, you can sort of judge people.
You know, in the job, I've got some pretty, some well-known people's phone numbers. And I was scrolling through Venmo at one point and realized, oh, I can look in on the Venmo transactions of an NFL rookie now. Let's see what's going on. And this NFL rookie was not living a particularly wild life. There was a lot of pizza. There's some haircuts. But yeah, I was like, he should probably figure out a way that I can't see this.
We should probably go private on this, buddy. We should probably go private is what I'm thinking, because this could be rough on you if we're not super careful about what we do. But that's like, that's another thing. The other thing that I've thought of is this, that once there's a basic literacy with crypto, I mean, how are you? The NCAA became obsolete the minute the internet happened. Like the minute the internet happened, the NCAA was done. You were never going to be able to catch up to any notion of enforcing anything in this kind of open source environment where people can use aliases without punishment. Like it's just like you don't have any legal authority to track any of these down, and it's hard enough for the feds to do that anyway. How are you supposed to do it as basically a toothless nonprofit out of Indianapolis with the technological literacy of at best a Kiwanis club? Like that's, they're not, it's over, dude. like you should, it's done.
As it should be. It is all as it should be. And I hope they actually keep trying for a little while, because it's going to be more fun to watch them flail.
I'm waiting for it and I'm happy for that. And everyone who works there who has a shred of conscience should have left, decades ago anyway. But watching them do this is going to be great comedy. And like I've always like thought, well, the funniest thing to me would be if you go and basically do, Gandhi to break British regulation of salt took a handful of seawater, like he marched to the ocean, took a handful of seawater and threw it on the rocks. And that was salt production, and that put him in violation and they would have to arrest him. Where like I think everybody at a game should just throw a dollar at a player. Like just make it rain. Just like everybody who's over the tunnel should just throw cash at the players. That's it. Just let them
go.
The
Michigan money cannon that is being used for a good cause in the charity bowl. The actual physical manifestation of the Michigan money cannon should be firing out of the tunnel as they go slap the banner.
Oh yeah. Like what you fire. Well, we do that. Let's keep market incentives what they are. You got to win. So we won't do it coming out of the tunnel, but when you're coming back in,
love it.
When I'm going back in, what's to keep me from doing that? I'm just going to dump that, we tip pool, right? That's what we do. Like this is taking people who are really against paying players and trying to hoist them on their own petard is my favorite thing. When somebody I know who is probably describes himself as a libertarian, right?
Right.
Who's like, hey, my property rights and money, that's all I got. And I'm like, okay, cool. What about players? Okay. Cause I really think they probably like money too, and they should be paid. Well, they should. Yeah. It's a school. Well,
you can't give the quarterback any more than the backup right guard, because then there'll be arguments in the locker room. That sounds like a completely different political ideology or economic ideology, but okay.
I just always hear like Barry Switzer in my head going, hell says I can't. Watch me. I'll pay whatever I want for these players. There's a market, you know. I'll give their mamas whatever they want. Like,
and he would be glorious, because Barry Switzer, because you see these coaches, and some coaches are cool with it, understand what's going on. Other coaches are very much bucking against it, do not want anything to change. Barry Switzer would have been completely ahead of the curve. He would have been like, "Let's do it. What do you need?"
He's like, "I carry some Bob Stoops tequila anyway."
Yeah, hey, Bobby, you're not working for Oklahoma anymore. Hook these, you know, get these boys selling tequila for you.
All right, so you say he's got a nerve disorder? No, it's Twitch. It's a streaming thing. Okay, cool. What do we need to set up with that? So does he want to Twitch or not? You gotta get him with the Twitch. He'll be fine. Like, I know that this is gonna cause, like, this is gonna cause some retirements. Like, there's no way that we're gonna get through this without some coaches just saying, "I don't want to mess with it." If you had 30 or 40 mil in the bank, and you got to learn an entirely new ecosystem, if you got to learn an entirely new way of doing things, man, just do Roy Williams. Just hang it up.
The good news for the schools, though, there will be hundreds of people who will be happy to make millions of dollars to continue coaching in spite of this.
it's
crazy how that works.
That for the moment are going to pay for all of this. They're going to allow a lot of foolishness to happen in the meantime. I wanted to ask you this. What schools, like, realistically, if we do name and likeness and we're allowing sponsorships, okay, not mm-hmm. all boosters are created equal. Not all schools have the same money. Who's really set to jump up a tier by virtue of their association with large corporations that can plausibly sponsor athletes? At my first,
Stanford. You mentioned Stanford. That's an easy one.
If anyone cares, someone has to. If anyone cares, right?
But SMU and Tulane, there's money in the alumni bases there, significant money.
Right. But what companies are going? Because my first thought was Oregon.
With Nike, can't do it.
Yeah.
Because why can't remember? Because the second Nike works to make Oregon better, Ohio State becomes an Adidas school. It's bad for business for Nike.
So they've got to balance out. Now, why can't they
Memphis and
begin
Memphis
funnel?
And FedEx, however?
Okay. Which they would do.
That's
Fred
exactly
Smith
right.
Would do that.
Yeah.
Fred Smith would 100% do that.
So, you know, I mean, that's the thing. You got to find that. But the problem is Nike's in the business of sports, and specifically in the business of college sports. It's bad for Nike's business to just favor one school over the others.
Yeah, so they can't do that at all, mm-mm. especially with, you know, New Balance really, really
well,
coming
exactly,
up.
As they take over the market. I was so disappointed to find out that Boston College was not doing New Balance for football. Like, I want that. That would have been just one notch below Connecticut with Aeropostale.
I think that we really don't appreciate how awesome that was as a decision to go with Aeropostale.
You know what I want? I want a team outfitted by Lululemon. I want the bougiest college football team in America.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and state that yes, I want this. And two, I would 100% be on board for this for their welfare and benefit, because it's so comfy, man. It's all men's.
The anti-stink technology. I mean, all of it.
That's going to be it, because, you know, somebody will be like, you going to that Lululemon school. You're going to that. Look at you. Going to that Lululemon school. And they're going to turn around and be like, just try the athletic
right
types once.
I look good.
Just try these once, man. They'll be like, yeah, listen, I didn't want to admit it, but damn, these are nice. Like, that's going to happen.
I'm never wearing actual clothes again. I'm all athleisure all the way now. I went through my bow tie phase. I'm done. It's all of tights.
The dandy is dead. Long live the dad.
Yeah, no, if it's socially acceptable to just wear tights, I'll do that. I'm not quite there yet. I got to lose a little more weight, but I'm getting there.
I cannot wait, by the way, for schools whose boosters have absolutely no marketable endorsements to try to do this. I was just thinking of, like, Kentucky, where, like, a lot of the donors to the program are guys who, like, run coal mines. They're like, dang it, I gotta find some way to funnel money money to
there'll
recruit.
Be ways. They got to figure out how to tip on Twitch, but there'll be ways. Just
wow, I got honestly, a $23,000 tip tonight.
I really don't like. I don't understand how anybody's going to police that.
Or why anyone should. Yeah, like you're going to end up with some wild recruiting stories. Absolutely wild.
It's gonna be
and the
so
only
good.
Person, the only people who are really going to have any ability to chase down any of this will be the IRS. That's it. Like you're going to see some people who like sophomore wide receiver audited by IRS. What do you mean I have to pay for Twitch money?
Well, Spencer, you've just become one of the don't pay the players people. Don't they know they have you? They're going to have to pay taxes.
I think I've become another person a libertarian hates, which is the person who's like, hey, you should pay your taxes. You should probably stop free riding on the work of others and pay your taxes, or I'm just going to put potholes in every road you drive on.
Thanks. Listen, you want a tax deduction? EDSBS Charity Bowl is going on right.
That is correct.
Freaking now. So you want to deduct from your taxes? EDSBSCharityBowl.com. Go donate. I want to see this man clean shaven. We got to get to $1 million. Also, Spencer behind the scenes is going to show me how to set up something like this. We did our nugget eating challenge last year. That was just sort of a wild hair. We're like, hey, let's pick a charity of your choice, donate some money per nugget. We're going to do a much more organized version this year. I don't know if it's going to be chicken nuggets because that damn near killed me, but we will figure something out. But Spencer is going to explain to me how to raise tons of money for charity. And then we're going to do that too later this year. So Spencer, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, hey, my pleasure, Andy. All right, take care.